Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians chapter 5. You know, tonight I want to talk to you about something that affects every area of our lives, our homes, our marriages, our workplaces, our relationships, and our walk with God. I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. All right, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tells us this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now notice the Bible doesn't say fruits of the Spirit, it says fruit, and that's important. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, it's all one thing. You can't like, well, I'm gonna have this fruit, but not that fruit. You know, I like apples, but not bananas. No, it's one thing. All right, it's something we all should have. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is not something we try to produce in our own strength. It's something that grows as a result of our relationship with God. Fruit is not manufactured. Fruit is cultivated. All right, you know, you don't make fruit, you grow fruit. And, you know, a lot of times people, we try, we just say, well, that's something we're trying to. No, you don't try to act a way. You act this way because of the nature of God that's on the inside of you. All right? You know, and when a believer learns how to walk in the Spirit, fruit will naturally show up in their life. You know, you can kind of tell, you know, it's interesting that when you put somebody in an environment, well, for instance, have you ever walked in a room where someone's argued and you can tell that there was contention in the room? I mean, you can feel it. Also, too, I've noticed, you know, if you hang out with certain people who say certain things, then you're going to pick up on saying those certain things. You know, there's like people who maybe come from the north or whatever, you know, stay in Oklahoma long enough, so they'll pick up some of our words like fixing and different things like that. I know that there was a group of Rhema students a number of years ago. Actually, some of them, I coached a number of intramural sports, and I just said, just give me a lot of students. So we had these students, and one of my friends, real close friend, actually still a real close friend, him and a bunch of folks, and they were mainly from the South, and they would say this. They'd all say, shoo wee. I mean, that was like something that they said a lot. And I noticed that the whole friend group, they would all say it. So then I happened to be hanging out with another Rhema student, you know, not in that environment. And I heard this person use that word, shoo-wee. I said, hey, are you friends with so-and-so? Yeah, they're some of my best friends. See, I noticed that they were close to somebody just by the way they talked. And, you know, even too, like, if I know many times that, you know, maybe you're shopping at the mall, you know, for some of you who don't use Amazon, you know, you go to the mall or whatever, and the people who wait on you, or maybe the servers or whatever, you can just tell they're a Christian just by the way they act. You know, you can just tell, and that's what's called the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's, you know, now we all know what John chapter 15 says, John 15, 4 and 5. It says, so the source of the fruit is the Lord. It says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. He who abides in me bears much fruit. So the way we bear fruit is we abide in him, and he abides in us. You know, because many people say, well, they think that the fruit of the Spirit is some things that we try to do. No, it's not try to do. It's become second nature to us because we spend time with the Lord. You know, Jesus didn't say try harder. He said abide. He didn't say try. You abide. You read the word. You know, the words should be all over you. All right, now fruit is not the result of striving. Fruit is the result of staying connected. Staying connected. You realize that, you know, on a tree, fruit is hanging there. It's part of the tree. But if it's, you know, no longer part of the tree, eventually, if it falls off, you know, I've ever, you know, seen a tree and, you know, a fruit tree or whatever, and then some of the fruit fell off and that begins to rot. because it's not an environment to continue to grow. And in fact, you know, obviously we purchase fruit at the store, at a farmer's market or wherever, you know, you purchase fruit. But eventually, you know, that fruit, because it's no longer connected to the tree, eventually that fruit will rot even in your refrigerator. All right, because refrigeration might keep it nice for longer, but eventually it'll rot because it gets unconnected from the vine. That's what happens to us as individuals as we get unconnected, you know, from the word. You know, we have to know what the word says, but we have to be a doer of God's word. You know, and that's one reason I believe that the Bible tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, as we hang out together, as we abide together, you can see the fruit. Now, Christian life is not about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation. You don't come to church. See, people, you know, we don't kind of come to church to change our behavior. You know, we change our hearts and our behavior changes. You know, it doesn't matter where you were when you started coming to church. You know, a lot of people think for some reason that in order to come to church, you have to clean up first and then come to church. But that makes no sense. In fact, a great example I actually saw on Instagram one time, it was a pastor giving an illustration, and you know, a lot of things you see on the computer are not real, but this was a great illustration. And so a pastor said, I had a gentleman come to him, and he said, now, in order for me to come to your church, do I have to quit smoking weed? And the pastor says, no. And he says, I don't think you understood me. In order to come to your church, do I have to quit smoking marijuana? The pastor says, no. He goes, no, I don't think you understand. Then he took a joint out of his pocket. He goes, in order to come to your church, do I have to quit smoking this? And the pastor says, no. And he goes, I don't understand. He says, well, do you have to clean up before you take a shower? Or do you clean up while you're taking a shower? He says, I want you to come as you are. And as you come as you are, as you're surrounded by the word, your life will change. It's not something you try to do. It's the fruit of abiding in the vine. You know, and that's the thing. Sometimes we try to clean up before we do something. But you don't, like I said, you don't clean up before you take a shower. You just take a shower. I mean, it would be stupid, like, well, I'm going to scrub myself off before I jump in the shower. That makes no sense. You just come take the shower. Well, coming to church and being inundated with the word is like taking a shower. It'll transform you. You know, now we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and we talk about gifts of the Spirit, and they're two different things. You know, here's something important we need to understand. The gift of the Spirit demonstrates God's power. The fruit of the Spirit demonstrates God's character. All right, it's not about his power, it's about his character. Now, gifts can impress people, but fruit blesses people. Obviously, the fruit of the Spirit are as the Spirit wills, and the gifts of the Spirit as you will, as you let it happen in your life. Now, you can be, you know, gifted and still immature, but the fruit reveals spiritual maturity. All right? God is not just interested in what we can do. He's interested in who we are becoming. He's interested in changing your life. So, you know, Galatians 5:16 says this, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. All right? So it doesn't say you will never be tempted. It says you won't fulfill the flesh. You know, walking in the Spirit means allowing the Holy Spirit to influence our thoughts, our attitudes, our words, and our actions. That's walking. We let the Spirit lead us, the Spirit guide us. You know, now we still have temptation, but now let's walk through this fruit of the Spirit, not as a checklist, but as an evidence of a Spirit-led life. The first three gifts are love, joy, and peace. All right, those are about our inward life, The first three gifts. Now, love is the first fruit mentioned because everything flows from love. We read in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is the greatest gift. All right? Actually, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 says, love is patient and kind. This is from the New Living, by the way. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Now, love is not just how we feel. It's how we choose to treat people. All right? Now, what's funny, I always thought it was funny when the Bible says that love is patient, love is kind. I thought when you love someone, you're always kind with them. All right? Might not be patient, you know, but we're kind. You know, love is something that every Christian should walk in, because the Bible says that God is love. And if we're made of the image of God, then we're made of the image of love. I mean, you know, we can't have a godly nature without love. Now, you know, the love of God, according to Romans 5:5, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So that means we don't have to produce love. It's already been poured out in our hearts. We just receive it and we walk in it. Now, a lot of people said they have difficulty walking with their love walk. And, you know, how should you have difficulty walking in your love walk? Because that's what God, I mean, Jesus gave us two commandments. Not suggestions, but two commandments. He said to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our understanding. And that's the no-duh commandment. I mean, obviously, if you're a Christian, you should love God. But he said the second one is just like it. He says to love your neighbor as yourself. So it says that not only should we love God, but equally as we love God, we should love people. Not only should we love people, it says we should love people as much as we love ourselves. And, you know, we live in a selfish society. So if you love yourself, you should love people just as much. And you're like, well, but people are rude, people are this or whatever. You know what? But love is not rude. Love is patient. Love is kind. I mean, you know, we all have the capacity to love everybody. You know, and you know, but we have to move on because we have much more fruits. All right. Next fruit is joy. Now, joy is not the same thing as happiness. You know, a lot of people, you know, they think they're synonyms, but they're not. Happiness depends on circumstances. Joy comes from knowing God. You know, happiness, I mean, when things happen, I mean, you know, if you happen to be an Indiana University fan, you probably were really happy on Monday night. All right, if you happen to be a University of Miami fan, you probably weren't that happy. Still had a good season. But, you know, happiness depends on our circumstances, but joy comes from knowing God. You know, the Bible says in James to count it all joy. Not one of my scriptures that I gave him, but you know, we can be joyful in the middle of trials and tragedies because we know God. We're happy. And I always tell people, you know, I don't know how many of you grew up in going to children's church. Some of you. All right, I guess the rest of your heathens growing up. But anyway, there was a song we used to sing in children's church that says, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Anyone ever heard that song? I've actually done this myself. Sometimes I've had opportunities not to be happy. And I don't know, songs for some reason resonate in my mind. All right, and so there have been times where I'm have opportunities not to be happy, and I decide to be, you know, have joy anyway. So I just start clapping my hands because the Bible says, if you're happy, you know, clap your hands. So even when it's not happiness, I just clap my hands. And you know what? I found out if I do that, I start laughing because I think it's funny, you know. So anyway, Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, joy gives you strength to keep going even when things are not perfect. All right. You can have joy in the middle of a storm, and you can smile even when everything isn't resolved yet, because you know the greater one's at work. I mean, you know, The Bible also says that just this joy, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I mean, you know, the joy that we have comes from God. And, you know, we can be happy in the middle of everything. The next one is peace. Peace is an inner stability. You know, Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." You know, whenever we have an opportunity not to have peace, we just remember Jesus, that he has everything under control. You know, we're going to make it. We're going to get through this situation. It's all good. You know, he's going to, you know, I always think about when Jesus told the disciples, "Let's go to the other side. If you're going to go to the other side, you're not going to drown on the way there. You're going to make it. You're going to get through. You're going to get to the other side. Maybe it might not seem, you know, pleasant while you're getting there, but you will make it." All right. Peace doesn't mean the absence of trouble. It means God's bigger than your trouble. All right. You know, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us that God's peace guards our hearts and minds, you know, through Jesus Christ. You know, that's part of it. You know, let the peace of God, you know, guard our heart and mind. You know, don't worry about anything, or don't have anxiety about anything. You know, when love, joy, and peace are ruling your heart, outside pressures won't dominate your life. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside, because I have the love, the joy, the peace of God on the inside. You know, you ever heard that song, "Something on the Inside, Working on the Outside"? Oh, what a change in my life. You know, see, when I have love, joy, and peace, it comes from the inside. It doesn't matter what's going on around about me. It doesn't matter about the economy. It doesn't matter about the government, the president, you know, situations, circumstances, because I choose to know that God is God and be happy in the middle of the situations. It doesn't really matter because, you know, it's all going to be okay. So love, joy, and peace is our inward life. It's what's on the inside of us. All right. Now, the next three gifts, long suffering, kindness, and goodness, those are how we treat others. How do you treat other people? You know, and the word long suffering here, long suffering means patience under pressure, especially with people. So, you know, instead of using the word long-suffering, maybe you should use the word patience, because you don't understand long-suffering and how long do I have to suffer or whatever. You know, in 2 Peter 3:9, part of the verse says that God is long-suffering toward us. All right? And so actually the whole verse says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, so God is long-suffering about us. He's waiting on us. All right? So thank God that God didn't give up on us. And if God didn't give up on you, you don't have to give up on everybody else. All right, he empowers us to extend the same patience that he has to other people around about us. You know, and I know a lot of times we're like, you know, we want to have the baseball God. You know, the three strikes and you're out. We don't want the 70 times seven God. You know, we're like, you know, come on. I mean, you know, you need to get it all together. But you know what? Long-suffering is how we treat others. And of course, kindness is love in action. All right, you know, it's showing forth our love, you know, to individuals. And Ephesians 4:32, we all know what this says. It says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So you know what? Notice that what it says when be kind, it says forgive one another. You know, so somebody does something to you, you know, forgive them. Let it go. All right, you know, forget about it. You know, it'll all be okay. You know, kindness costs something, but it opens hearts. You know, sometimes you're like, man, I don't want to forgive them. I mean, they did this and they did that or whatever. There's probably a lot of things that you did, and praise God, God was kind with you. You know, we all make mistakes. But you know what? We can be kind to people. In fact, you know, they have a saying, killing people with kindness. You know, I found out, you know, the ruder people are to you, the kinder you are, eventually they'll change. eventually they'll change. You know, and it is interesting. Dealing with travel a lot of times, especially weekends like this is going to happen this week. And as you travel, as you talking to travel, plans get canceled and things like that. And it's interesting to see how rude people are to the people just trying to, they're just trying to help them, trying to get them on a new flight, and I know many times I've had airline, personnel, they're like, man, I'm so sorry. I said, well, you didn't make the weather. It's not like you did anything, but they're being treated rude all the time. And sometimes it seems that Christians are the least kind. We should be the most kind. We should show forth kindness to people all the time because it should be our inward nature. Anyway, the next thing is, because I've got to hurry, is goodness. Goodness means doing what is right even when no one is watching. A good person, good morals, it's integrity, it's character. Goodness reflects the heart of God. And so, have you ever heard people say, well, they're the same, in public as they are in private? And you should be, because, you should only be one you. You shouldn't have Sunday you and Monday you. And then Wednesday you and then Friday you. Then all weekend you. We shouldn't have split personalities. We should be the same, whether we're in church or at work, or whatever you do. You should be the same kind of person. In fact, sometimes people get weirded out, like, you're the same. You're nice, you're kind, or what, because I guess they expect people not to be nice and kind whenever they're not at church or something. I don't know. We should always be the same. Our example, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. He never, our God never changes. I am the Lord of God, I change not. So why should we change? So those three gifts are once again how we treat others. And then we have three more gifts, and these are, I messed my notes up. All right. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are how we govern ourselves. All right, these three gifts. Faithfulness is consistency. All right, Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust and also much." So, if we're God values faithfulness over flashiness. Just be faithful. It's not about, me being seen. It's about just me being there to be a help or whatever. A lot of people, it's funny when it comes to church, a lot of people want to volunteer if it's in a role, whatever they're seen, where people can see them do what they want to do. They'll volunteer to do something where people see them, but they don't want to volunteer to clean the toilets because nobody sees that. But if no one cleans the toilets, everyone will see that. That's the thing about it. Some of the most important jobs are unseen. Because when people come to church, they expect, the place to be clean. They, expect the grass to be mowed or whatever, but someone has to do that. And people that are faithful, they're willing to do whatever it takes, whatever I need to do, I'm willing to do it, because that's being faithful. Faithfulness shows up, stays steady, and keeps walking. It doesn't matter what happens. They're going to be faithful. There are people that that are faithful no matter what. They're going to be there. There's people you can count on. And there's people that I don't care how many times they tell you they're going to be there, they're not showing up. You want to see who your real friends are? Move from the third story of an apartment building. Or move to a third story of an apartment building and you'll find out how faithful your friends are. Either that or how rich they are. Here, I'll give you $1,000 so you can hire a mover because I don't want to carry your couch up three flights of stairs. I actually told somebody, if you didn't live on the third floor, I might help you move. But I don't want to carry, I mean, nobody does. I mean, moving period's hard enough to find people. I mean, now I will tell you the way to get people to help you move is feed them. Especially Mel Rama students who don't have a lot of money and kind of hungry. I mean, I'm not talking about pizza. Take them out for a steak dinner. So, you know, we'll have pizza while we move. Once we get moved, we're going to go for a steak dinner. That's how, it's cheaper than a mover. All right. So, all right. So that's faithfulness. The next thing is gentleness. Gentleness is strength under control. All right, Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your soul. And so the Bible says, I'm gentle and lowly at heart. Gentleness does not mean weakness. It means power submitted to God. All right, God is the all-powerful. You know, one, it's not, you know, we don't have to be a show-off. Just be a gentle, kind person. And then self-control, which a lot of people don't have. Self-control is spirit-enabled discipline. All right? This is not willpower. This is Holy Spirit power. The Holy Spirit helps us to say no to the flesh and yes to God. You know, we all have temptations. And you realize the devil knows how to tempt you. All right, he knows that, you know, things that might tempt me might not tempt you. And the things that tempt you might not tempt me. But the devil knows your weaknesses. All right, but you know what? Self-control is saying no to the flesh. You know, we're not trying to live right alone. We have divine help living on the inside of us. The greater one's on the inside of us that leads us and guides us and helps us, you know, in all things. So just remember, the fruit of the Spirit is not developed overnight. You know, just like fruit doesn't grow overnight. It takes time. It's watered. Well, first of all, it's planted. It's watered. It's cultivated. So fruit grows over time. All right. When someone gets saved, you know, comes to God for the first time, you can't expect them to walk, you know, with the fruit of the Spirit that someone's that's been, you know, a Christian for 20 years. And that's the thing. A lot of times we expect somebody to instantly change when sometimes I don't even know the rules. So we don't realize that we all have rules. You know, as Christians, there's things that we do and things that we don't do because, you know, we know the nature of God. If I'm just saved, I don't know the nature of God. I just met him. You know, when you just meet somebody, you know, have you ever met someone for the first time? And usually when you meet someone for the first time, you don't really have long conversations. It's kind of, you know, hi, how you doing? You know, nice to meet you or whatever. But the more you get to know them, the more you connect with them, the more you talk with them, you know, the more, and then, you know, maybe they might become your best friend. And that's what Jesus would be, our best friend. But, you know, when we first meet him, you know, we can't have those fruits immediately, and we shouldn't expect people, they got saved yesterday. They walked the aisle yesterday. So, because, I mean, you know, I see certain people, especially in the entertainment world, you hear a great thing that so-and-so, you know, got saved and begin to proclaim, you know, their faith or whatever. And then people are busting them over the head like, well, a real Christian wouldn't do this and wouldn't do that and wouldn't. The guy just got saved 2 weeks ago. He doesn't know the rules yet. And then again, you know, sometimes, you know, we just, you know, well, he doesn't talk like a Christian should talk. Well, some of you don't talk like a Christian should talk either, and you come to church every week. You know, so, you know, I'm not saying, I don't mean like you, like I'm not pointing to somebody, you know, but it's, I mean, give the guy a break. It is interesting. You can't expect someone to, now that is also too, is, you know, you don't put them on the pulpit, you know, immediately either. You know, now, if you want to interview him about his Christian walk, and so you met Jesus and give your testimony, just like you'd interview anybody. Say, oh, you got saved. I mean, how was that? I mean, that's okay. But you know, you don't expect him to have a full itinerary going to church every week. All right, the guy just got saved. Or the lady just got saved. So fruit grows over time as we walk with God, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, and as we stay in the Word. You know, if we don't know the Word, we can't be a doer of God's Word. I mean, the one thing we need to do is know what does the Word of God say. And like I said, you know, my grandfather was huge on that. What does God's Word say? Because if you don't know what God's Word says, you can't be a doer of God's Word. And God's Word has an answer to everything. So fruit begins to appear naturally. You know, I mean, an orange tree produces oranges. It's just part of their nature. And a Christian should produce the fruit of the Spirit. It should be part of your nature as you hang out with God. As you become part of their branches. You know, you abide in Him and He abides in you. So fruit begins to appear natural. So in conclusion, you know, Galatians 5:22 starts first of all with the word but. But the fruit of the Spirit. All right, you know, is. And so, you know, so sometimes you need to put your butt out there. You know, maybe natural humanity doesn't want to do some of those things, but what does the fruit of the Spirit say? Well, put my mind, you know, renew my mind. You know, in a world full of pressure, anger, and division, God wants His people to be known by their fruit. Man, we live in a divided world. We live in, you know, in all this stuff. But you know, we should be known by the fruit. You know, I mean, people shouldn't have to tell you you're a Christian. That's one reason I don't really like the Christian Yellow Pages. I shouldn't have to tell people. I mean, if they can't figure out I'm a Christian just by meeting me, then, you know, whatever. But so, you know, tonight it's not talking about condemnation. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm talking about growth. That if we want to bear more fruit, then we should spend more time with God. Spend more time in church. So let's make a fresh decision to walk in the Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to shape our lives from the inside out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this quick little teaching on the different fruit of the Spirit. And Father God, we thank you as we continue to walk with you that we'll continue to produce fruit. And as we produce fruit, we'll also help others produce fruit as well. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you, Father, that you're blessing them beyond measure. And we thank you for everything you're doing in their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. We all stand up. We have folks coming down. If you need prayer for anything, the way we do it on Wednesday night, whether you need healing or salvation or whatever you need, we have some ladies who'll be over here. We have some gentlemen who'll be over there. If you happen to be a lady, go see the ladies. Happen to be a gentleman, go see the gentleman, and for prayer for anything. If you happen to be a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you tonight. Connection Chamber is in the aisle. They want to give you a gift that we have for you. And so we want you to have that. Remember, you know, on Sunday morning, there will be no School of the Bible, but please, you know, watch the, you know, social media or watch the thing. But before you come out here, like, you know, it's very rare that we cancel church, all right? But then again, we also want you to be safe as well. And we have no clue. Like I said, this is Oklahoma. You don't know. I mean, we could get a dusting of snow. I mean, I've known times where they canceled school and they hardly got any snow, but because they all talk about, you know, and we could get 3 feet of snow. So you don't ever know, you know, because Oklahoma, it can be 0-1 degrees and 70 degrees the next day. You just never know. It says the wind comes sweeping down the plains. That's part of the song. All right. And really, in all reality, that is Oklahoma. Whether we get the north wind and coming from the north or the south wind coming from the south, that depends on our weather. That's why when the north wind and the south wind meet together, it produces tornadoes. All right. That's why we're the tornado capital of the world. All right. God bless you guys. Take care and bear much fruit.